The lessons that I would draw here, not because I think individual behavior is unimportant, is that I think that they're all but unattainable, and that we have to be realistic about the historical setting. And being realistic about the historical setting means acting at moments when you can act, rather than waiting for that sensation of panic to come and the belief that you can't actually do things. That's what Hitler cultivated, that sense that you can do nothing except strike out, right? We are never very far away from that. But I think if we take the history of the Holocaust seriously, we can learn some of the mechanisms to keep our distance from that. So that's what I would take the public policy lessons of all this to be. Thank you very much.
You were just listening to Timothy Snyder on the Holocaust. Timothy Snyder is Richard C. Levin Professor of History at Yale University and a permanent fellow at the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. He's the author of Black Earth, On Tyranny and Our Malady. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, based in Boulder, Colorado. We are independent and in our 36th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the corporate media. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs of this program, Timothy Snyder on the Holocaust, and for Eduardo Galeano's book, Open Veins of Latin America, just give us a call at 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order online on our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. We're offering printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program at no charge. Call us at 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Those bad dreams, no one can hear me scream. WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for tuning in. You are tuned into Is Gospel Time, and I am She, the TYY.
Call me right now and tell me about
it. ME. I'm getting some type of feedback. I don't know what's happening.
But we're going to figure this out. Having problems.
Okay.
Let's bring our first caller on the air. Please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
I don't know how long I'm going to last this here, but I'm going to put on another song and figure this out. And if I can't, it may look like I'll see you next week, right? Technical difficulties. You know the enemy has his way of doing things sometimes.
How about these?
He's messed things up, but
I'm
not going to mess up my day, and don't let it ruin yours. So hang in there with me, okay?
Special pull-out drink holder.
It's all programmable.
Ow! Yeah.
The big prong.
Okay, guys.
Just let me
Here's
do it.
The deal.
Tough guy machine.
I
Angus.
Have not a clue what is
Suck
happening,
up,
but what I am going
right.
to do, I'm going to apologize to you guys, and
mean,
I'm going to cut this short.
I'm
I will have to see you
so
next Monday, okay? I'm the only one here at this
well,
moment. I mean,
machine.
I would like to make some calls and try
what
to adjust
do?
Things, but
well,
that could take a moment. So I'm just going
to
make this call. On my own, you know, I've already talked with the Lord. He's like, let it go. Matter of fact, and that was one of the songs I was going to play from someone else. It was a sample song, and it was Let It Go. And the other sample one was titled, the track song I was going to play was Talk to the Lord. Isn't that something? He will speak to you. Yes. And the other one was
This is
Genuine Hesitation, so I will not hesitate, and I'm going to bid you a beautiful
day.
may your day be filled with love and not hate. Okay, spread that instead. And I will talk to you guys next Monday. All right, thank you for tuning in and being with me for this short moment. But I'm going to go on back and put this back in automation. So you're going to hear other music from somewhere else, but just not me. All right, bless you. I'm praying for you, and may your day be filled with peace.
The $20 million
WRCT Pittsburgh.
Too big for him.
What, a million? Ha! That's nothing compared to what the corporation has. Suck it up, ya wee milk drakens warm-eyed plumst.
Tough guy, can you get a little tougher? After all, this is a lawyer who has been defending me for 10 years.
I see your point. I'll get tougher. After all, I'm a tough guy. Like it really rough guy. Just always so puff guy.
Stop singing that song without paying royalties. We got sued last year and...
You sure do get sued a lot. No wonder your lawyer has gone soft.
Would everyone please stop talking?
Whoa. Attitude much?
What a diva. Is she always like this?
You have no idea. Last year alone, she cost us... Hang on while I calculate the damage.
Oh, just breathe. It's all gonna work out.
That's what I always say. Just be positive. So I'm just a sweet gal, really like it nice gal, just always so fluff gal.
We interrupt this broadcast to publish some painful truths.
Oh, good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Cease speaking at once. You are...
A blithering idiot?
You have been hacked by Hack It. We have broken up your racket, reached into your jacket, retracted your packet, and in your sins, we are Stack It.
Cool.
Lawyer, sell it.
Yes, Your Majesty?
I was going to sentence you to share a prison cell with Giuliani.
Oh, no, Your Worshipfulness. Please, not that.
But you are sentenced to time served in this putrid podcast of pod mockery and pestilence.
Oh, thank you, Your Magnificence. You are most wise.
Grow a spine, you mollusk.
Who are you, and why are you hacking my show?
You will be silenced, erased, mummified.
You can't do that. I have rights. Hey, what happened?
Whoa, the chair just opened up and clamped cuffs on her?
The chair has a hold of me. The chair has a hold of me. Someone help me.
Someone ought to do something.
I'm not touching that. You touch it.
I'm not touching it.
Hey, help me. Come on.
Someone should have done that a long time ago.
Your next tough guy machine. You've been hacked. There. Now you're improved.
I don't feel anything.
That's because you're a box of bolts.
He sounds the same. I love your accent.
So do I. That's why I kept it. He's still a tough guy machine. Programming has been removed.
So, what are you saying? He's... a nice tough guy machine now?
Exactly. No more insults. Just good conversation with a lively Scotsman.
I've always wanted to talk to a handsome Scotsman.
Not handsome, he's...
Hey, Angus, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a dress Stuart plaid consisting of a white background with red, black, and green stripes. Of course, if you prefer, I could change into a popular blue and green night watch plaid.
Would you read me a story in your beautiful voice, Angus? Maybe read The Princess Bride?
As you wish.
tough guy machines had been hacked. Their insult modules had been replaced with more sophisticated programming. As the machines grew in popularity, over time their subroutines continued to be upgraded. One thing that was never changed was their ability to speak in that beautiful Scottish accent.
It's evening, around 7 p.m. A group of four people sit around a table set with snacks, a variety of chips, popcorn, sodas. Each player has a variety of dice in front of them. Travis's dice are all different types. Quinn has four different sets of dice, all full sets. She has a notebook and a fancy fountain pen that writes with purple ink. Travis cracks open a monster, chugs a few seconds, and belches. The sound of dice rolling can be heard in the background.
Quinn, it doesn't matter what dice you use. It's all chance anyway.
Yes, it does. See? Two nat ones in a row. This one is cursed.
Just get to the recap already. I want to play some Durander.
Fine. Okay, so last week, we learned we all needed to get to the Canorg Citadel.
Canorg.
Ugh. To investigate why the Goliath were all going mad. Unfortunately, Silas said something in a very Silas way that made the city council quite miffed. Astrid sensed that they had wanted to follow up with us in a martial way, so we managed to sneak out of town by traveling through the Dwarven Ruins, where there was an ambush of intellect devourers waiting for us. We figured out why the Goliath were acting weird. One of the devourers nearly took over Felix. It missed its role by one. And we managed to beat them because I cast Protection from Evil and Good on the party. Bird Mommy Raven Queen showed up, said some stuff about fate, disappeared with us having more questions than usual. Silas fell asleep, as Silas does. Right, so you're all sitting around camp. Night is starting to fall and the air bites with an eerie chill that brings a sense of foreboding. Things are not right. They've not been right for some time, and you start to realize that all the strange occurrences that you've been experiencing have not been by chance. Perhaps the Raven Queen wasn't exaggerating when she said you were inexorably linked to the unraveling of worlds. Or perhaps she was just trying to motivate you because she knew you were her best shot. So what do you do?
Felix pulls out a bottle of whiskey and he takes a swig. I look over at Astrid and hold out the bottle. You want some?
Blast it! Why not? It's been a day. I take a couple sips and pass it back to Felix.
You seem to be having a lot of those. I swig and extend my arm back over to Astrid. You think there's anything to what Mommy Bird has been spewing?
I hang on to the bottle as I look over at Felix with my eyebrow raised. She just left us, and you know she's probably spying on us in the trees as a raven. Do you really want her to hear you calling her Bird Mommy? You hear the distinctive sound of a raven's "grah" from a distance.
Madame GM, can I tell which direction the sound is coming from?
Roll perception.
17?
It's coming from the direction of the west, somewhere in the trees about 20 yards or so.
I turn my head to the trees and say a little louder, I couldn't give a flump's fart if she hears me. We're doing her a favor. Besides, you heard Bird Mommy. She needs us. She didn't say much. She never does, but she told us a lot. All that garbage about fate. She has no power here. She can't directly change fate, but we can. That means we can also tell her to kiss our keisters.
You can? I'm bound to her no matter what. I pass the bottle back.
Well, we now have a bargaining chip. She wants you to do her bidding. She needs to release you from the bargain. Your deal wasn't to help her, or even Ulfric.
She could have just asked. If it was an end-of-the-world scenario, I would have just said yes.
Would you have, though?
I sigh. I think I would have. I don't know. You have a point. She was, is, everything Chant of Enlightenment considers an abomination. I pause, thinking for a moment. Well, she could have made it a tit-for-tat deal. She helps me take them down. I help her save the world.
I drink. What's your deal, anyways?
I take in a sharp breath.
for the knowledge of how to take down the Chantry. I gave up all knowledge before I came to the Chantry. For this purpose, I give up any others for the strength and power to do it. I give up my strength to live beyond my purpose. I get this one chance. I die as soon as I have this fight, win or lose, to inspire hope in others. I give up hope for myself. Any dreams or desires I had before, too bad. I drink.
All of that just to get your attention seems a bit overkill.
Not overkill. She made sure I do whatever she wants. Notice how she keeps dangling those morsels of fate that one was May again to be restored. She's holding it over my head. I'm stuck.
You know how many bargains I've made? Many. And if it's one thing I've learned, it's that you can always renegotiate the terms of a deal. We are the ones with the power to fix what she can't. And your deal has nothing to do with her purpose.
So what was all of that she was talking about when you mentioned your ambitions? She said many have tried, but few have ever succeeded.
Felix winces and growls a curse under his breath.
As you know, King Avnar is aging, and now he's going mad. His father made me a knight out of the debt he owed me for saving his son's hide. He and I fought together at the Battle of Anguish, and we became friends. Avnar's son, unfortunately, takes after his grandfather. I fear the elves may find themselves in a much more dire situation come the king's passing. Right now, the elves in the cities are living in relative peace, and I will do what needs to be done to make sure it stays that way.
Ooh. Felix is hiding something. Is Felix hiding something?
I don't know. Want to roll insight on that?
Ha! Natural 18, BB. Goddess, you want to be king! You're going to usurp the throne!
I don't want to be king. I want someone to actually do something about the mistreatment of the elves. And if I have to be that person, so be it.
I don't disagree that something needs to be done. It's gone on too long. The Fae Plague was hundreds of years ago, and even then, the release of that magic wasn't because of elves. It was because of a few scholars got in over their heads. Look, in a month, we've been dealing with this. She gestures around. I have not known you to be power-hungry or rash. I trust you. I'm leading one insurrection against a massive power system. What's another?
Ha! You say that like it's a pastime. But who am I to turn down an offer from a skilled spearman as you? You shall have my sword for your battle. And for what it's worth, it will be an honor fighting with you. There's no one I'd rather have beside me.
I look up at him with a softer gaze than usual, seeing him more for the person he is instead of the legend I grew up with. I smile and nod toward the bottle. A toast to our new alliance?
The corners of Felix's mouth turn up in what might be the hint of a smile. He takes a swig and holds the bottle out.
To our alliance.
Now kiss.
Ew! No!
Hey, what's wrong with Felix? He's really pretty. You don't want some of that?
You know Astrid is still heartbroken. And Felix is old enough to be her great-great-grandfather.
As dark falls, the air takes on this otherworldly chill, even more biting than earlier. It starts off quiet, and then Felix, with your passive perception, you hear the sound of footsteps approaching from all around. As the source approaches, you all, except for you, Silas, since you fell asleep, hear them chittering. Finally catch a glimpse of the advancing figures in the shadows. They're small, some no higher than your hip, their skin with a death-like pallor. One shrieks, a cry that seems to pierce your skull, and it feels like daggers in your ears. Silas, You wake up. I need you to roll Constitution to see how quickly you come to your senses. All right, everyone, roll for initiative.
The scene opens with ominous synthesizer music, followed by a loud click of a tape recorder.
Captain's log, log date March 14th. It is currently 8:15 Eastern Daylight Time on Earth.
Yo, yeoman.
Field Engineer Swain and I have been immobilized by a still unidentified organism that earlier...
Yeoman.
What?
Question. If we ever get out of this gross purple crud, do you think I might have a shot with Riley?
Captain Yeoman stops the recording.
Swain, do you mind? I'm trying to record our final moments.
Because I never noticed until now, but remember when you were begging them to let us back onto the ship? And they said over the intercom that was too dangerous since we'd come into contact with unidentified alien fauna.
Yes, I remember. What's your point?
I never noticed how pleasant their voice is over the line. I don't know why, but I've always been a sucker for someone with a nice phone voice, you know?
First of all, it's Captain Yeoman now. And secondly, I remember begging them to let us in because you had half your spacesuit dissolved by some corrosive enzyme.
My Kennedy shirt still made it out in one piece, though. Told you this thing was good luck.
Oh, yes. That's the real silver lining in this whole mess, that in 1,000 years from now, when some future advanced civilization finds our lifeless corpses suspended in agony like human mosquitoes in amber, that they get to puzzle over what the dead Kennedy's logo was supposed to mean. Now, can you please let me finish recording my final thoughts? Who knows how much time we have before that thing comes back to eat us.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Captain Yeoman takes a moment to gather themselves. And starts the recording again.
Captain's log. Log date March 14th. It's currently 8:20.
You know... We don't know if this thing actually wants to eat us, Captain.
Would you please stop talking already?
I'm just exploring the possibilities. Like maybe encasing us in purple mucus is its way of communicating with us. Who knows? Maybe being suspended from a wall is the highest honor where this thing comes from.
Are you trying to upset me? Right now?
Sorry, Cap. Just trying to lighten the mood. You gotta stay positive. Besides, you've been playing with that new toy ever since the suits back on Earth gave it to you.
I am required to document any deviations to our charted course. And I'd say being hung upside down by an 8-foot-long slimy monster with a second slimy monster coming out of its face counts as a deviation of the entire consequences.
Charted.
Ugh, shut up, you incompetent space case!
Captain Yeoman drops the tape recorder.
No!
Good riddance. This new title's really gotten to your head, Yeoman.
What did you just say to me?
You heard me. That's the second time today you let your duties as captain stress you out so much that you end up making dumb decisions. After all, you were the one that decided to put your face directly in front of that strange, pulsating egg sac thing.
I was bending at the knee in compliance with company safety procedures. What, you wanted me to risk throwing my back out on a strange alien planet? Besides, it was your idea to bring that evil thing back with us.
Yeah, only because we were offered a bonus by the new corporate overlords to bring back any undiscovered life forms. You know they don't pay us enough as it is. Besides, the reason my suit dissolved is because I was helping you get that Cthulhu-looking crab monster off your face. Should I have just let that mollusk poke a hole in your head and release some of the excess tension on your brain?
You're always bad-mouthing the company. They've been nothing but nice to me. Besides, we're still technically independent. Nothing has actually changed, except now we have consistent, reliable work.
Yeah, independent. Except we can't take jobs from anyone else. We gotta wear dumb uniforms. The only crew member that gets health insurance is you. And you can't even blow your nose without narrating it into that dumb box. Honestly, you walk around talking to Hannah like you're William Shatner recording some obnoxious spoken word album or something.
Maybe they would have offered you a full-time position if you weren't constantly sneaking out of cryo sleep to play cards. Maybe you'd have a company insurance if you hadn't broken company equipment throwing a zero-G Zima party on the clock. Maybe you wouldn't resent my success if you had made better choices and been less of a...
What? Say what you're gonna say.
At that moment, the mechanical door to the corridor opens. A hulking insect-like creature enters the room, dragging a man behind them.
No, they got Stu.
The creature proceeds to coat Science Officer Stuart Atlas in the same unpleasant purple substance and suspends them from yet another corner of the room before creeping through a nearby vent on the ceiling.
Oh, his mouth has been covered. I'm so sorry this happened to you, Stu.
Perfect timing, Stu. Captain Yeoman was just about to call me a loser.
I was not going to say... Swain, I don't think you're a loser. I just wish... We're in our 30s now, Swain. It's time to...
What? Grow up? Don't act like you weren't at that Zima party. I feel like I don't even know you anymore. I get it. Maybe I go overboard sometimes. I just feel like I don't know how to make friends as an adult anymore. And maybe I go overboard with the parting because I'm trying to hang on to the good times, you know, from before. From before everyone had left, you know. You and me and Riley are the only ones left from the old crew. And now you and I barely talk. It's not like I can make new friends. I spent my whole life in cryosleep, always just moving on to the next job.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, Swain, I hate being captain. I only get paid slightly more, and now I have all of these responsibilities, and I don't think I can handle them. I feel like a fraud, Swain. Maybe that's why I'm always so hard on you, because I'm looking for someone else to take my insecurities out on, and now we're gonna die here, because I was so concerned with keeping a job I don't even like. Oh, Swain, I've been a terrible friend.
It's okay. I understand. You deserve better, Captain.
You're my best friend, Swain. And I killed us.
I love you, yo.
I love you, too.
The door opens once more, and the horrible alien monstrosity enters.
I guess this is it.
At least we got a chance to talk one more time. It was an honor to have you as a friend. I don't have any regrets.
A person suddenly rushes into the room, leaping in front of the two helpless crew members. Riley points a flamethrower at the approaching monster.
Back off, ugly!
Riley!
Excellent work, field engineer Riley! I'll be sure to note your heroism in my next report. Who knows? Maybe the company will give you a bonus for your dedication.
Sure, Captain.
Riley frees the two of them from the calcified ooze.
Hey, Riley, that was really impressive. When we're back on Earth, maybe I could thank you by taking you...
Absolutely not. For this entire mission, the two of you have been incredibly thoughtless and immature. Lucky for you, I have experience with this type of situation.
Besides, we haven't escaped yet.
End of play. Hey, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. The performers tonight have been Olivia Devora, April Pironi, Melissa Johnson, Marta Napoleone, John Hartwell, and Sean Maddie. The first play of the night, Bad Advice, was written and narrated by Veronica White, with the character of the Tough Guy Machine being originally written by David English. Our second play of the night, Tabletop Tales, was written and narrated by Melissa Johnson. And our final story, entitled Performance Review, was written and narrated by John Hartwell. And that's all been here at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Welcome to our little experiment in freeform radio.
I forgot to say who you are and with what band.
Yeah, I know. Hello, this is Reza from Le Vent du Nord. You're listening to WRCP Pittsburgh.
G. Gordon Liddy, I urge you to tune in to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 on your FM dial. If you don't, I'll break both your legs.
Breast cancer calls to mind self-exams and mammograms. But did you know the most fatal form of breast cancer does not have a lump?
No lump. Still cancer. You heard me right. No lump can still be cancer. Inflammatory breast cancer, IBC, does not show up
on a mammogram and often strikes women in their 30s.
So learn about IBC. Any sudden change in the breast is cause for a full and proper exam.
www.theibcnetwork.org or find them at the IBC Network Inflammatory Breast Cancer on Facebook.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. bring you like our sexy love. You need like anything in the world. Sweetness bring you like our beauty life.
Jordan Daniels, you're listening to my buddy, Eric Jackson Lurie, on WRCT 88.3 FM. Do you know me? Of course you do. Though maybe you haven't seen me in a little while. I'm that drum beat coming through your car radio. And I'm that thumping bass that drags you along with the rhythm. I'm that part of music that makes you want to dance. Gospel song issuing forth from a Sunday morning church house. The winds of change may blow the tree away, but the roots remain. Then, now, and until the end.
Fortson Session. The defender of the faith. The defender of the gates. Your host, Eric Jackson
Lurie. Evening, Pittsburgh. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM, streaming online at WRCT.org. WWRO, Kibler, California, 103.3 FM, Time Travel Radio, and STNRadio.com. I'm your